Hello and welcome to the 17th Planet Destiny podcast. Quite a little special show here today. I am joined by my usual hosts. We have Briar Rabbit and we have Pope Bear. Our guest today, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hi, I am Professor Broman.
He is.
I'm a Twitch streamer.
Professor Broman has kindly decided to join us today because we have been actually starting up our own Twitch thing, so hopefully we can get some of his sage advice and just the whole world of streaming.
I hope so. I hope to give some good advice. I mean, it could be good. It could be awful, though.
Well, you do have a lot of experience as far as...
Plenty of experience.
Yeah, plenty of experience. For those of you who don't know, Professor Broman was recently on the Bungie reveal. He was there for the Prison of Elders reveal, so that's where you guys may know him from. Give us a brief background about how you got started on doing this whole Twitch thing.
Okay. Well, I got started streaming, because I was kind of inspired by it. I had no idea what Twitch was. And then my brother came in one day and he's like, yo, you need to come watch this thing. And I was like, what? He's like, it's this thing called Twitch, but there's this charity marathon, for victims of, Hurricane Sandy to raise money. And there's this guy playing Paper Mario and he's speedrunning it. And I was like, what the crap is that? He's like, it's a speedrun. Try and finish it super fast. The guy's name's I Ate Your Pie. It'll be hilarious. So I started watching it. And then I realized that Twitch had this environment, this feel of like, oh, man, this is like watching a game with my friends, playing a game with my friends in my living room. And so it's this fantastic place where we can all kind of hang out together and just relax. So I got involved with the speedrunning community. And I started streaming because I wanted a place for me and the rest of the guys who speedran my game to hang out and play or talk about theories of how to play fast. So I started streaming Borderlands 2 in January of 2013. So I've been streaming for almost 2.5 years now. And so I did that for 1.5 years. And then when Destiny came out, one of my friends, who's also a streamer, King Gathalion, he was like, yo, this game Destiny's coming out. It's going to be really cool. We should try playing it together. It might be really, really fun. So we did that. We played the beta together a little bit. I was like, fell in love with the game and the gameplay. And I was like, man, there could be a lot here. So we all started playing it together on launch. And I've been playing it ever since. Our goal on launch was to try and be the first team to finish the Vault of Glass. But we were not. We were the 7th team, though. So nice. I'm super. That's really good. Yeah, 7 is not bad. It's top 10. So I was pretty happy with that. All of us who are streaming still had it couldn't be our sole focus. He has a family and kids, and I had just moved and all this other stuff. We would have liked to try, but I'm happy with that. And so from that, I fell in love with Destiny and I started streaming it every day. And that's what I do 7 days a week, 8 to 12 hours a day.
So you knew King Gathalion before Destiny?
Yeah. We were introduced to each other via both streaming Borderlands 2, because when you have a sizable community, there's always going to be overlap on Twitch. So
right.
his viewers would come over to my channel and be like, dude, do you know King Gathalion? I'm like, who's that? I don't know. So I met him through that. And then, you know, we became friends and started talking. And I met him at a couple PAX events and we hung out and he's a cool guy type stuff. So, yeah, we knew each other prior to Destiny for sure.
So have you always done, you haven't always done streaming. What did you do prior to playing games for a living?
I've had a lot of jobs in my life in no particular order. I've been a landscaper. I have been a groundskeeper. I have been a security guard. I worked at Starbucks. I worked with adults with disabilities. I worked in a psychiatric hospital and I worked as a resource manager for adults with disabilities. That was the last job I had before I started streaming full time.
Aside from Twitch streaming, if you could do any one of those jobs again, and they all paid, let's say, $50,000 a year, which one would you do?
I would go back to being a resource manager.
Okay.
Now,
it was the most rewarding job I ever had, working with, you know, someone who maybe has a little bit less of a capacity to engage in what you would consider normal life. So people who have Down syndrome or just, you know, people who needed extra assistance, it's awesome to show up and help them live their lives and feel rewarded and like they can participate in society. All they need is just a little help. It's a super rewarding job. So I would go back to that in a heartbeat.
You know, that's I actually work with, I don't know, so your counterparts when in my regular job, I work as a school administrator and that one of the things that we do is we help our students transition into the real world. And the last meeting that we have from them exiting high school is we work with those transition counselors to get them working and employed in whatever capacity they can. So you do that. You're the other person on that handoff, right?
Yeah, pretty much. That's I would be the on the ground person.
Yeah.
That would be there helping them every day.
That's awesome. Lots of respect to you, man. That's a that now I understand why you have the patience to do Twitch.
Yeah, I mean it's a trying job to do something like that where you spend maybe 5 hours trying to convince someone that it's okay to come outside.
Right.
You know, nothing awful is going to happen to you outside. I promise. And they're like, no, man. And well, I'm like, no, it's really going to be okay. We need to go to your doctor's appointment 3 hours late.
And immeasurable amounts of patience, right? And just keep going at the same thing.
Yeah,
just,
exactly. You hear the crazy. Same thing over and over again all day, and you have to deal with the same issue right. consistently and constantly.
So
yeah.
It's basically exactly like Twitch streaming.
So did Bungie say anything about the auto rifle? About auto rifle buffs? 20 minutes later. Hey, did Bungie say anything about auto rifle buffs?
Chat.
Did you hear that? Yeah, no, live streaming on Twitch.
Yeah.
Is you 100% get to deal with the stream of media consciousness. So right. When you, especially there's lots of different ways to stream on Twitch. Some people stream variety. Some people stream competitive. And some people are game streamers. And that would be where I am classed as I am a Destiny streamer. That's the game that I stream every single day. So I am extremely, dependent or receptive to whatever the media is talking about. Mm-hmm. Anything that's going on in Destiny, I have to know about it almost before yep. people in my chat do. Or if, you know, something gets springed on you or if something ridiculous happens in the news and someone is, you know, spouting some ridiculous stuff, you have to deal with it. You have to deal all day with. Yeah, I heard this thing's happening, and I heard that this is happening, and you can't do this anymore, and it's terrible, and oh man, everything's awful, and the sky's falling, and don't you hate Bungie? Don't you guys hate Bungie? Man, I'm so mad. Like, everyone's negative feelings or positive feelings can really affect your day-to-day as a streamer a lot. Some of the worst days I've ever had weren't necessarily directly derived from anything that I had done. It was just something that had happened. We were talking a little bit, I guess, before we went live about the day that Bungie announced there would not be a
riot. Oh, the humanity! Yeah.
That was a dark day.
I mean, you saw the social media kickback on that. I had probably the worst week of streaming of my entire life. Me and Goth and T-Rex and a lot of the other Destiny guys would just sit on Skype and chat with each other. Like, what can we do?
Right.
Because there was you can't have fun when the only thing that people want to do is complain,
right?
And so I think that
so how do you curve that?
Redirection? Redirection is a huge part of streaming on Twitch. So you either need to give people an example that is so powerful that your chat begins to self-police itself, because the few thousand people that were there heard your example, and they're like, wow, that's good. So what Goth did was he read Green Eggs and Ham, and he replaced the word, you know, I do not like green eggs and ham with I am very angry that there is not a raid. Because brilliant. his big point was the fact that you don't know if you hate it until you have tried it.
That's perfect.
Just like green eggs and ham.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
My side of things, the way that I kind of dealt with it, was I tried my hardest to make people realize that raids are cool. That's mm-hmm. why they're here. That's why we like them. However, they are really singularly focused. And just based off of the rumor mills that were kind of going around about the new PvE content, it sounded like it was specifically engineered to deal with the problem of this feels the same every week. I hate it.
Yeah, that's what's most exciting to me. I can't wait to have like a brand new experience every time I get in there.
Exactly. So I tried to make everyone realize there's all these comments that people were making on forums and on Reddits and on Twitter, things that people complained about the game all the time. And you could see in the game design of this DLC, even when they did that initial announcement, that they were answering the questions and the problems that people had very, very specifically. And with each returning reveal Goth's reveal, Triple Rex reveal, and then mine, you got to see more and more of this very elegant solution to the huge issues that were present in the game.
They found themselves with a very complex problem. Everybody in the community was looking forward to House of Wolves for a different reason. So the reveal of what was in it was like this onion that you had to peel away layers of it. And it was a very complex, like you said, a very complex problem. And I think it was brilliant the way that they kind of unwrapped that package. But I realized that, so there's these questions, like talk about Twitch streaming, right? There's these questions that come up all the time, and people are at their work day jobs, and then they come on and they want to ask the question that was in their head to you, like when they get on, right? Have you found that the Twitch stream chat, like the way it's designed, is ineffective for a large channel like yours? If it would it make sense, like if as a chat moderator or as the streamer yourself, say somebody came up with a question that was new for the day, right, or for your stream, you could click on that question and it would push it across to a Q&A or FAQ ribbon that's next to the chat, and then you just then you answer it. When people jump onto the stream, they can look at the FAQ list, and then there's the 15 or so commonly asked questions. I mean, is there a feature like that, or am I just crazy?
You're so cute. You're so cute and new. Oh, man. No, it's okay. That's a very elegant solution that you'd think would work, right?
Right.
It absolutely doesn't.
Oh, no.
It absolutely doesn't. When I was streaming Borderlands 2, I had a ready-made frequently asked questions. I had an FAQ that answered literally everything.
Okay.
From start to finish about what I was doing. The bottom line is people don't read it.
Okay.
They don't read it. No matter how readily available it is, people don't want to read it. They don't want to look for it. They want you to answer their question.
All right.
And that is the big problem.
And God forbid if they stop listening for that portion when you actually answer their question.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I was just dealing with that yesterday. Like,
well, I wasn't here people 5 minutes ago.
People, no, exactly. Yeah, and people will do that with content as well. Like, if you just if we just finish hard mode Vault of Glass.
Oh yeah.
I can count. It is inside of a minute before after the reward screen, someone's like, "Hey, bro, man, you gonna do Vault of Glass today? Yeah, plan on doing Vault of Glass at all today? You gonna do that?" And I'm like, "I just did it." And they're like, "Well, were you gonna do it again?"
I don't want to focus on the negative too much. I'd like to hear moments from like overall your Twitch. Like, what has been the top three coolest things that have happened since you've been on Twitch? Like related to Twitch.
The top three moments I've ever had on Twitch. The day that I got my sub button, because it was the day that I realized or the realization came about that this is something that I now have the potential to do as a full-time job. All I have to do is invest in it and build, you know, brick by brick until this can replace my old
job. How long did it take to get that point, if you don't mind me asking?
So when I got my partner and sub button, it was actually much more difficult to do than it was now. I think that it is great that it is so much easier for you to get a partner with Twitch and get a sub button and all that stuff. It's fantastic because at first it was soul crushing. You had to carry 500 concurrent viewers and starting from nothing. And we're talking about Twitch hat. Think about how visible Twitch is to 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Even now people don't know what it is. 2 years ago, the viewer base was much smaller. So trying to get 500 people, unique viewers on your stream was rough. Mm-hmm. So that took me 8 months of just busting my butt to try and get to that point, which is still exceedingly lucky. So it took me 8 months to get there, and then it took another 2 months to get my sub button. So it was a really, really hard fought win for me. So that was so getting my sub button was awesome. It was awesome because it was so hard to get. People were really shocked and surprised. Like, holy crap, you actually got it. Because people didn't get, people didn't get sub buttons back. You didn't get sub button. You didn't get partner really quick. So getting it was this huge, huge, huge victory. Not that it isn't now. It was just much more rare of an occurrence previously. So that was my number one, my first one, probably my number one moment. My second one, this was a moment on Twitch. So I got to participate in Awesome Games Done Quick 2013. 2014, me and my brother, who also streams, T-Rex, and a couple of our friends, Uber Goose and iMisty, did a four-player Borderlands 2 speedrun at AGDQ, and we raised, I think, like $60,000 during our little block.
Hell yeah.
And that particular GDQ event was the first one to raise $1 million. Wow. So that was just an amazing moment to be part of. It was absolutely fantastic. Yeah, so much fun. So much fun. So amazing. So that was probably my number two. And then my number three moment on Twitch, honestly, was probably the first time going through Vault of Glass. Vault of Glass for me was what solidified Destiny as like an absolutely fantastic game. I know that for a lot of people, it's got room to grow. Absolutely. But when we played through those encounters, when we did that for the first time, it was like a transcendent moment for me in gaming, where I was like, wow, I haven't felt this engaged in a game since I was 15.
Mm-hmm. How long did it take?
Our first playthrough, we got to Atheon. It was about 8 hours.
Wow.
Our first complete run, because if you guys remember, there was the Nightfall glitch where if someone had completed the Nightfall, it actually reset your vault progress.
Yep.
So our first full run actually took 2 hours. So we were I don't know if I mentioned it. We were the seventh team to finish. Our goal was to try and be the first, but it wasn't going to happen.
A lot of people going into the Vault of Glass for the first time, nobody knew anything about raid mechanics. Bungie was completely silent about it. You know, we knew there was a raid and that's it. And going into that, we had to figure out all those mechanics for the first time.
It was awesome. That's one of the reasons why we put together the team that we did, because myself, King Gathalion, T-Rex, a lot of the guys on our team were MMO veterans who knew about that. That's what we felt like made our team unique. And what gave us a chance was that we were sitting there. So the second stuff started happening, my brother, Sam T-Rex, he was a raid lead for a really big guild in Final Fantasy 11 and 14. So he just started ripping things apart immediately. And we were just like all like spitballing and trying to figure everything out. We thought the oracles were Simon Says. So we were refusing to kill them as soon as they spawned. We had to do it in order. So we were like practicing all these calls. It was ridiculous. So our first full run took us. All right, we got to Atheon the first time in 8 hours. Our first full run took 2 hours.
It's too bad that people can't get that experience anymore. You know, picking up Destiny today, there's no way you're going to find five other people who haven't seen any videos of the Vault of Glass and you can just experiment in there for that amount of time. Normally, player's experience is going to be getting sucked into a raid team that's done it a dozen or more times. And they're just going to stand here now. Okay, shoot that guy now. And that's what your raid experience is going to be like. And it's not going to be nearly as fulfilling or as exciting as being there on day one.
And
there's still really good groups out there. When I was working with Dads of Destiny, we had a new member like teach streams, you know, just where we would take one or two new people who had never done any of the raids before or, you know, wanted to do them. And we would allow them to sort of stumble through as much of it as possible. They were essentially the raid leaders in a way. And we would allow them to get frustrated and then still have like what was that show where you had, you know, you could phone a friend, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. You had three outs. You know, so we would try to give them that, you know, experience and then, but they still had, they weren't up against a wall, right? They could still use our experience and we were still skilled players. But, there's still groups that try to emulate that, but I think you're right, Briar. There's not that genuine experience for the new people.
You're not going to get that genuine experience either because, I mean, I'm pretty sure every single, or if you were there for the reset and went into Vault of Glass with a group on that first time, you didn't have full legendary weapons. Your gear sure as hell wasn't fully upgraded.
No, yeah.
Right. Like, I had a blue scout rifle the first time I did that. And then like a blue scout rifle, a blue sniper rifle, and I happen to have a legendary rocket launcher that I got. None of the stuff was upgraded. My armor was crap. Like we were thrilled to go in it with, you know, two level 26s and then the rest were all level 25s.
Oh right. Man, yeah.
Do you remember trying to
Atheon's epilogue from the Templar, my first run through, and that was the gun I used for the rest of the raid.
Well, do you remember when the Vault of Glass opened for the first time?
Oh God, yes. That
just the sound of that, like figuring it out. I mean, the first puzzle is pretty easy to figure out. You figure that one out.
It's
pretty
easy
quick.
To figure out, but the fact that like, okay, right. Guys, we won a level 26 on each one of the pads. Okay, which one's the easiest?
Yeah.
Because we only have two level 26s.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay,
exactly.
So the middle pad's easiest. You know, you guys just use sniper rifles. We can do like we were just. There's so much strategy that went into it when you were at that lower level.
Yeah, when you couldn't just face stomp yeah. everything.
I think Datto did a stream or is going to do a stream with only level 29s going into the hard mode.
Uh-huh.
And I think he must have done it because he said that it was still really hard.
Yeah.
You can do blue challenges and those are fun. And where you just put on the blue gear and blue weapons and go back and do the stuff. I really think that that's something that I've been excited for Bungie to add in the future, maybe, where you take your fire team and you can pick the modifiers for, you know, we can emulate that as much as possible by changing our gear and doing stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But if we could wear our, you know, current gear and up the level of the raid or whatever, knowing full well that we're punishing ourselves, right? It just like
yeah,
activating
exactly.
skulls in Halo.
Or maybe you know, maybe just, do something where you know how in PvP all your stats are normalized. Do the same thing in PvE as like a challenge mode type thing.
I'd love to have a Nightfall esque raid.
That's why I was so excited for Prison of Elders.
We've talked about that a lot. When we were when everyone was theory crafting about what the Prison of Elders could be, that was something I was very adamant about. I was like, look, they already have a randomization system built into this game, and you see it every week in the Nightfall. This new event, which this is kind of when we still thought it might be a raid, I was like, this new raid could be randomized. You could go in one week, and it could be Voidburn, and you could go in next week, and it could have Juggler and Light Switch. So I was very adamant. As soon as the word randomization came up, I was like, they already have these systems in place. It has to be what they're doing. I can't wait to see what it is.
That's a great idea. Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome, and that's why I'm excited about Prison of Elders.
I mean, too. I really am.
That's exactly the mechanics that are going on inside of there. Yeah, it won't be the old raid experiences that the other people have, what you've had before, and it might be fun to do Crota's End with, you know, Arcburn.
Right.
And by fun, I mean awful.
Yeah,
whatever.
Awful.
You know, it might be fun to do these things, but what I like is that there's going to be new material, new stuff in the game that is also going to be cycling through all this stuff. So you don't have to kind of retread old ground to make it new. You don't have to, like, till it all up again and be like, hey, look at this brand new raid. It's totally new, right? Yeah, winky face.
So you kind of built your back off of your stream off of two things. You know, you got excited about charity, doing charity, like, live streams early on, and then doing speedruns. Now, is speedrunning something that, you know, so there's two people listening to this podcast that have not watched your stream, right? There's to those two people, everybody else has seen you. They know
who
you are.
I imagine there's an insane amount of people.
No, there's maybe one or two. But so for those two people out there that don't know who you are, do you do speed runs now? Like, what is your content?
No, I don't. I stream Destiny. That's what I stream.
Right, I know, but speedruns of Destiny's content?
No,
I mean, what do you
well,
do?
Well, okay, we can get into this really, really, really sticky subject.
Okay.
But I don't speedrun anything in Destiny. To me, and through like my experience with speedrunning is all about taking a whole game, breaking it apart, and completing it from start to finish as fast as you can, using any and all exploits possible. So Destiny in that... you also have to have a stable patch of the game, which means that everyone who's doing it has to always be able to be on the same version, which is never possible with Destiny because somebody, let's say, does a thing and they're like, I did this in an hour, and then everything gets patched. Well, now they are going to have the fastest time for all eternity because no one can challenge it,
right?
Because no one can play on that old patch. So
okay.
By the rules of speedrunning, Destiny isn't really a game that lends itself to speedrunning. Now, people do speedruns, in quotes, of like, you know, Vault of Glass or Crota's End, and that's totally cool. By technical definitions, it's more of like a time trial since you can't always whatever, but I'm not like going to mince words, but I don't do speedruns of anything in Destiny because I really enjoyed the games that I did speedrun. because of the whole idea of completing the whole thing in a really short period of time. Like, that's what always appealed to me to speedrunning. And since I can't, like, boot up Destiny, start level one character, and then, you know, rush Crota's End inside of 4 hours, it's not super appealing to me.
So is that why you're so you're not streaming right now, you're talking to us, and so your stream mm-hmm. is active though, and it's pushing content from I've been in the corner of my eye, I've watched it switched over between three different Twitch streamers. Is that is that something you're doing, because you've got a big channel? Is that something, do you pick the streamers that you have that you're
the hosting? Yeah, that is those are other people who are on my Twitch team. My Twitch team is the Wobblers. We founded that Twitch team a year and a half ago, and one of the unique things that we do, and no one else on Twitch is doing this, is that we deeply believe in each other. Okay. And because of that, we are willing to put anyone's face at any time who is live on our channel. So Twitch introduced this hosting feature a while ago that was basically like you type /host in your chat mm-hmm. and it brings up another person's stream and it exposes your viewers to this other streamer.
Right.
So we have a bot that's set up every 30 minutes that essentially it has an algorithm that runs and detects if these five people are live, gives them a ranking value off of like how recently they were hosted, and then decides who to host on the stream. So that kind of gives my channel constant content, and it gives everyone else's channel constant content. So you can be watching someone on my Twitch team do whatever it is that they're going to be doing for the day on any channel. So you don't really have to kind of click around if you don't want to.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great.
So that's what that's about. Yeah.
So I'm watching Fire Dragon 764.
Yeah, Fire Dragon.
He's doing Luigi's Mansion, a speed run of it.
Yes, he is.
And he just got up out of his desk and was doing a dance. Now, is that because he beat his time or something?
No, Fire is just like that. He messes around. He's
all right. He got out of his desk and he's like sitting there dancing, doing a jig. I don't know why.
He has a PB dance. If he gets a new personal best, he does do a dance. So you could be seeing that.
Wow, I'm
not
honored. Sure, because
I'm not watching it.
All right, cool. All right.
Focus. I will say that the general just community of Twitch is so interesting to me because, you know, on Monday is when we brought our Twitch, we did a soft launch of our Twitch channel, and I started like about an hour or so ahead of time, and I was just kind of chilling with Triple Rec, and then I just casually mentioned, oh yeah, you know, I'm also streaming. He's like, oh really? Awesome, mods, you know what to do. And he just suddenly did like a double stream thing where both of us were being hosted. I'm like, what really? You're like basically giving us viewers? He's like, hell yeah, man, let's get this community up. And it's like, dude, this is awesome. Like,
yeah, good guy.
Yeah,
this is one of the coolest aspects is the community is so supportive of each other, not only just amongst the Twitch streamers, but amongst the community itself. Like you have people from all these other channels coming over to chill and talk to you. Like this has been one of the most interesting experiences for me just to actually chat with everyone that normally mm-hmm. I would be reduced to, you know, YouTube comments, you know, getting to pick and choose amongst those.
Yeah.
It's very humbling too, because I was playing Vault of Glass, and you know, I consider myself, you know, a pretty I've played a lot of Destiny, so I know a lot of the content. But it's humbling in that, you know, you're playing and you're at a puzzle, you're at a point where you're challenged in some way, and you're looking at the stream, and you have your set of tools when you come into a part that's hard. That you go to, you know, certain things that you do. But then this chat that has, you know, 1,000 people in it is giving you suggestions that are like stuff that you never would have thought of, but it's awesome. So there's obviously some bad suggestions that aren't right, but there's some really good stuff in there. And it's humbling to know that there's people out there that are watching you play that know the game much better than you do. And they're giving you advice, and they want you to be successful. That's humbling to me, and I appreciate the chat when they're sitting there and they're giving suggestions. And I think that's one of the greatest things that I've experienced this week in doing it, because I never really streamed live before or done streaming before. So a lot of this is just like this. You called me a newbie earlier, and I totally am. So this is really, really exciting.
I will say, just a slight change of topic here. Streaming on Twitch is a much different experience. I don't know if I like it yet. I enjoy answering people's questions. Like I enjoy a lot of stuff about it. I don't enjoy that I definitely have to wear pants while playing video games.
Oh yeah, no, exactly. You there is a, well, if you don't have a face cam,
I have a face
cam. But if you have a face cam, you kind of enter into a social contract mm-hmm. that says you will wear pants.
Yeah.
You need to wear pants.
Yeah. It's like, you know what? I'm playing video games and I'm required to wear pants. This seems like two polar opposites of things that were once there. Yeah. With you two.
I woke up in the middle of the night. I had a dream and I woke up in the middle of the night that in my dream, I was streaming and I hadn't, I'd stopped, I thought I had stopped streaming, but I hadn't. And my computer was still recording, and I had gotten out of the shower because it's in my bedroom, right? So in my dream, I got out of the shower, and I'm drying off, and there's 1,000 people watching me like naked in my bedroom. So it was a voyeuristic dream, but it was frightening at the same time.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm a little paranoid, and I stream from my bedroom, so like. I turn my webcam around after every session.
I just make sure I turn off my computer. Yeah. Like, turn it all the way off. You know it's done. It can't accidentally be broadcasting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had that happen where you were accidentally streaming, or are you just really careful about it?
I think I've only ever had one event where I accidentally left my stream on, and it was just like a black screen with my voice or something, and I was mm-hmm. just like, oh man, blah blah blah, and I was like typing on my keyboard like boop boop boop, doing bills boop boop boop, and someone in my chat was like, "Yo, bro, man, you want to stop the stream anytime soon?" I was like, "All right, yeah, I'm sorry, bad."
Oh man,
yeah, man, I know what that's like for sure.
But this whole concept of the wobblers, that's really interesting to me. I think that's really great. How did you meet these guys?
We scouted them. I mean, if you want me to be completely honest.
No, I want to know how.
When we made the team.
Yeah.
It was me and Witwix and a guy named Cherno. Let's use everybody's screen names. Cherno's no longer on the team. He kind of just decided to kind of go some other way. But we just basically wanted people on the team who kind of fit the value system that we had as streamers, which was we believed in being community-oriented, interactive, and in the most general, almost all situations, positive. So no negativity, no, begging, no being a jerk, no bad-mouthing other streamers, just no toxic crap.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of went through the streamers that we knew, and we invited folks that we felt like were positive influences on the community and positive influences on Twitch, and that were of a certain size, because we wanted our goal was to also have anyone who was taking this seriously as a job and help them, just like, we would want to be helped, and say, like, let's all work together. Let's cast a wider net. Let's not be selfish and worry about these viewers are my viewers and those viewers are your viewers and you might take mine. You know, if somebody comes onto my channel and they see me hosting someone else and they're like, holy crap, I like Broman, but I love this guy. And they decide to, migrate over and they become a regular on that channel and maybe subscribe to him and drop their sub to me or whatever it might be. It doesn't matter, because Twitch is something that we're all in together. It's such a new form of medium and it's so alive. It's alive all the time. Twitch is always around. Something is always happening on Twitch. So you can't isolate yourself. You can't cut yourself off. There's no distinction necessarily between channels, because it takes you 2 seconds to go from one person's channel to another person's channel and say, this is happening over here or whatever. It's really alive. And that's so when we were putting the team together, we wanted to have a whole bunch of people who wanted to do this as a job, wanted to be positive and wanted to work together and weren't afraid of the things that we felt like some folks were really getting afraid of, which is sharing your community. So the way we found everyone was, it was just, people that we maybe watched and we were like, hey, this guy, he just got a sub button. He's really cool. He seems really positive. Let's ask if he was interested. And then things kind of evolved from there. At first, it was just sort of, hey, let's all mess around. Let's make this team. Let's have fun. And then we realized if we all work together, we could really do something on Twitch. We could, make an event just because of us working together and get it visible and things like that. And we recently had an event. We had an event with our team and another team on Twitch called Main Menu, and then our sister team, which is the Wigglers. we had an event with everyone to raise money called Racing for Change, and everyone took like a 4-hour block over a 48-hour period, and we raised $67,000 for a charity called Game Changers, which pays for medical bills for kids with cancer.
That's a great.
So it was you know, things like that wouldn't be possible if it wasn't a sharing and participating community full of broadcasters that do care about each other and have their best interest and the rest of the team's best interest in mind, and ultimately Twitch in general. I want Twitch to be a fantastic place that's positive and free of toxicity. It's why I run my channel the way that I do, and why I get accused of being a little harsh sometimes. But, you know, I don't wish to see Twitch go the road of, well, it's the internet, so people can be awful here.
Yeah.
I want to see Twitch be a place that's, this is Twitch. It's the one place on the internet where you're like, oh man, I like it here. This is comfortable. People are respectful type stuff. Yeah.
If you could have a magic wand and Twitch gave you a tool for your channel, what would it be?
Oh man. That's a really tough question.
You could, like, something that you felt would change that toxicity or help you run your channel better or whatever.
I honestly cannot give you an answer to that question.
That's because, fine. That's fair. I threw that out of left
all
field.
Of the
that's
answers,
sort of the question that I'm
no,
asking
No, all
myself.
Of the answers to that question, it's actually one I've considered a lot, but all of the answers to that question also end up breeding more problems. The one that most people go to, and the one that I went to for a lot, was automatically instituting 2 chat rooms. So you could have an open chat room, and then if someone, let's say, subscribed or was a regular or was there for so many hours, this other chat room would unlock for them. But okay. What happens is that bleeds out anyone who's not new eventually into this secondary environment, and your primary environment, your open chat, where people come and see you, turns into a cesspool.
Okay. It's like a brain.
So
there's a brain drain that happens out of your.
Yes,
your
exactly. Yeah. So you can't have something like that. You need to have everybody there, because the truth is that people who are regulars on your channel or subscribers on your channel or who've been watching you since day one. I've had people who've been watching me for 2.5 years. They know what you're like, and they can, like, mentor people and help when there are problems in chat. They can be there and say, "Yo, let's all calm down," or like, "Let's talk about something happy." When things are starting to get negative. So I don't really have an answer to that. Twitch is doing the best that they can.
They've come a long way in a short time too.
Oh yeah. They've had to.
Yeah.
It's grown so much.
It's such a small company. You seem like you do a lot of work to help other streamers, and like, yeah, is that where your like name Professor Broman came from?
No, my name Professor Broman came from my old Xbox gamer tag. It just ended up being very fitting for who I am and what I do. Me and my brother all made our, he was our last name, our given last name is Bowman. So we didn't want to go with that. And we were like, oh my gosh, if you change one letter, it's Broman. Like, that's pretty funny. Like, you know, transpose it and change it. And we were like, that's great.
Yeah.
So he was Broman Inferno and I was Professor Broman.
Nice.
And that was just, we rolled around like that for forever. So when I made my Twitch channel, I was like, you know what, this fits. I mean, it's what I will use. Or I guess I didn't even plan on streaming. When I first joined Twitch, I was like, Professor Broman, I'll just use my gamer handle.
Yeah, right? That's what I did.
And then it also ends up, it ended up being a really interesting reflection of who I actually am as a person. I mean, I went to school, I went to get a master's degree. And I really do enjoy working out. So it's a pretty fun.
Nice.
I will say that where should people go if they want to actually check out your stream? What's the.
Well, if they want to watch me, you can come to twitch.tv/Professor Broman.
Awesome.
It's that simple.
It is a very simple process, just to log on Twitch. It's like turning on a TV. It's like, I wonder who's on today. Let me go check Athalian. Let me go check Triple Wreck. Let me go check Broman. Okay, cool.
Oh, yeah. Twitch replaced TV for me really quick.
Yeah, a lot of people.
I think the full transition was maybe 3 months, and I was not watching TV anymore. now I absolutely have to get all my, any television or any media I want. It has to be on demand. Mm-hmm. Right. Otherwise I won't be able to watch it because I'd rather do something else.
Well, you know, what's funny is that like today, for example, the weekly update dropped. I went immediately to Twitch to find out, or to YouTube to find out what people are talking about it. Right. It's just something that's so relevant. It's so not instant gratification. It's more of like it's fresh. I don't know the word. It's crazy how you can find if it's trending or if it's a topic that is being discussed. You're gonna be able to find it on Twitch or YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
Speaking of that weekly update. They raised $750,000.
Incredible.
Three quarters of $1 million in what, 2 weeks? They're gonna break a million easily.
I'm sure. I am absolutely sure.
That is incredible.
It was a pretty smart little campaign they ran, I thought. You know, when I talked to my entire team about it, nobody cared about the t-shirt. Mm-hmm. Nobody cared about Nepal. They all wanted the shader.
I'm all over it, but
as soon as it came out, like we were they announced it and we were recording our podcast and it came out like that the moment it it was the moment it came out, I signed up and I bought a shirt. As soon as we finished the podcast, it was like an hour later.
Yeah, hour later.
I jumped into a party and I was going to do a raid with Irk. And he said, you know, it's crazy how fast they're selling. They had sold like 1,000 shirts within it was just a crazy amount of time.
Yeah.
And I started looking at the design because I didn't even look at it.
Well,
the design of it. Yeah, I didn't either. But the design of it, like the emblem, the in-game emblem is a... it's their flag, right?
Okay.
Some really interesting stuff that I learned is that Nepal is the only country that doesn't have a flag that's rectangular, you know?
Huh. Yes. Yeah. It's not rectangular. So it's like two triangles stacked on top of each other.
Right. And I thought that was really cool. And I guess I didn't know anything that much about Nepal. And so I saw that these are their national colors and the flag and the symbolism of on the shirt, you see these strings across the top. And I know a little bit about prayer flags, but I don't know enough to really say I could talk about it. And so I started doing some research on it and just some of the imagery that it's amazing. Like these artists that are working at Bungie turn around and they're passionate about something and they can produce that. It's just, I was blown away by it. And I've been promoting the shirts all like since they came out.
Definitely. Since we are on the topic of the weekly update, I figure we haven't done a video for that. One of the features that's coming is one of the much requested things that kind of fell into the wayside pretty early on. And that was like a reconnect feature for people that get dropped by a lot of those, not Apple, but like baboon errors, things like that.
Yeah.
And they are finally putting that in, or it's going to be in kind of a beta form. Let me read the quote here. If you encounter the most common kinds of networking problems and lose your connection to the game you're playing, Connection Recovery will leap into action and attempt to reconnect you. It won't always work, because the underlying network problem may be too severe, but it gives you a fighting chance at rejoining the server you were playing on. If it's successful, you'll keep your progress and your fire team. So, announcer voice aside, that's actually going to be applied for the Trials of Osiris.
That's where they're going to beta it, right?
Yeah, they're going to beta it in Trials of Osiris. Because,
and I think that's a really good place where people want to see that.
Yeah,
definitely.
Oh. Yeah, it is actually, well, when I was talking about it on stream, it's wonderful that the place that they are beta testing it is the place where you are most punished for getting disconnected. Because they were talking earlier, if you disconnect, it counts as a loss, and you don't want a loss in Trials of Osiris. So it's really, as usual, very elegant implication of a feature that people really, really want.
Well, they were talking about how, you know, when early on when we were looking at Trials of Osiris and the competitive nature of people, I used to play a lot of Halo and Call of Duty as competitive as I could. Nothing ever MLG. But even at just the pub level, people were lag switching and doing things because the competitions mattered. They wanted to win. Well, mm-hmm. when I looked at this situation, I go, okay, so people want to get to those 9 wins, right? What is that's going to bring out the, you know, the worst in people.
Potentially,
yeah. And so if I know anything, I mean, and I've seen this, Bungie is very good at this. They recognize network manipulation and they will be wielding the ban hammer. Very, very much. They did it in Halo 3 and Reach and all those. But I thought, well, there's all these networking issues. I get kicked from the party all the time. You know, Apple and the Baboon and all these different ones I get all the time. And I thought, wow, you know, I would hate to be on that win streak and then just get kicked and it count as a loss. So I'm really, like you said, this is an elegant solution, but I think we have to wait to see how effective it is.
Well, yeah, of course. It can't be perfect.
Yeah.
You know, it can't be something where they're like constantly forcing you to reconnect and then dragging, you know, the matches to be just forever. But I think it's really good. It's something that needed to be around a little bit sooner, but, you know. Things take time.
They're building. This game as we play it. You know, mm-hmm. They really are.
Yeah, exactly.
I really hope they do add that feature into Prison of Elders too, because that's gonna that really sucks. Is if you leave Prison of Elders, your progress isn't saved. It's not like a raid where you know you have checkpoints.
You're not checkpointing. Yeah.
Speaking of Prison of Elders, you got to do the Prison of Elders reveal stream. So
yeah, I did.
Yeah, what did you think of it? Now that you actually, you know, you're back, you've had a little while to mellow,
a little bit of time to process it. The first thing I think, honestly, when it is like, man, I really wish we could have finished it, and I wish I wouldn't have been going in completely blind.
Yeah,
that was really the most difficult part of the reveal stream, is that I knew nothing about what we were getting ourselves into. The everything that you see on that stream, all my reactions are 100% genuine and true to who I am.
Yeah, I am
experiencing something.
I will say, like, the people were like, "Oh, they're just playing it up. They've totally done this before. They're just playing it up. How difficult it's going to be." I'm like, "No, it is actually difficult." And they are experiencing what I kind of experienced, just on a much grander scale, because they're also performing for 180,000 people on Twitch.
Yeah. When I got there, everyone was kind of like, so, you know, you are on the same deal with everyone else. What'd they tell you? And I was like, they told me nothing. And they all looked at me like, really? Like, they didn't tell you anything at all? And I was like, no. And they're like, cool, then we're not going to talk to you about it. We're going to throw you into it in front of everybody tomorrow. And I was like, are you serious? They were like, yeah, you don't need to know anything about it. It's fine. And I was like, cool, whatever. I kind of wish we would have done the 32, so maybe it would have been finishable. But, you know, there's the paradox, right? If we would have stomped through it really quick, like, let's say done the 32 and finished it inside of 45 minutes or whatever, which I really feel like is doable, what would have everyone would have said what?
Yeah.
Too easy.
This content is ridiculous. Yeah. I don't care. It won't last. Mm-hmm. And so I am more than happy to get thrown to the wolves as the guy that sucked at Prison of Elders, because people can't accept that it's just hard.
It's hard.
It is.
I think that you know, and there's all these, everyone, all the top players and everyone who got to go there and do YouTube videos are all saying, well, it wasn't hard for me and all this other stuff. And I get that. But
when you are designing a game,
I've heard people say, like, it really wasn't as hard as they made it look.
When I was there, they had the Bungie playtesters were struggling. These guys get paid to play the game, you know, and that's their job. And they were struggling with 34. I mean,
yeah. So I think that at the end of the day, even if it was easy for you as a top 1%er of the game, the vast majority of people who are going to play Prison of Elders on any of the difficulties, maybe not 28, but 32, 34, and then the 35 difficulty, which absolutely blows my mind, and I'd actually like to talk about that in a second. Mm-hmm. If you
absolutely
oh yeah to.
for sure
uh it is going to be a very difficult experience that is going to require a lot of forethought. The raids were kind of like learning how to run an obstacle course, mm-hmm. right? So once you know the obstacle course, you know where the climbing wall is.
Mm-hmm.
You know where the water pit is. You get used to it, and there's only one way to do it optimally. The cool thing about Prison of Elders is that they have the six versions that will be cycling through it. And each one of those six versions is different. So you're not going to be able to have one optimal setup for the entirety of
yep.
the Prison of Elders experience, which I think is great. Makes it more like a chess game. Requires more of that strategy that we were talking about with the Vault of Glass, where you have to figure it out. You have to figure it out. Save the exception of the 35 highest difficulty one, which will always be the same. And I know that there's been some heat on Bungie that they brought back Delta scaling for that. You know, so if you're listening and you're like, what's Delta scaling? Delta scaling is a forced wall in the game. The first use of this, you probably encountered it if you did Vault of Glass on launch. You were like, holy crap, I'm not high enough level for this. Everything's killing me and I can't do damage. But they implemented Delta scaling as a mechanic in Crota's End.
Yeah.
It was really negatively received because everyone felt like, this is dumb, I am underpowered, and I cannot strategize my way around this. And I agree with that frustration. It was really, really frustrating, and it still kind of is, to get killed by stuff that you're like, you know, if I could just get gear, then this wouldn't be a problem. So my knee-jerk reaction, and I held my tongue when I was on stream about this, when I saw that. Because I don't like to just spout off, especially about things like that. I knew that there had to be a reason why they re-implemented Delta scaling. And so I got a chance to talk and think about it. And the difference between the Delta scaling on Crota's End and the Delta scaling that's going to be in Prison of Elders is, in the Prison of Elders, there are strategies that give you player advantage. So for example, even if your damage is reduced, you are still going to end up doing more damage if you have void weapons and it's void burn. You have an advantaged set. So really, in that situation, the player is still becoming stronger, but having to fight harder enemies that are introduced because of the Delta scaling. So I actually think that if you draw a comparison between Crota's End and the 35 Prison of Elders, it's kind of a good-bad dichotomy of, this is how Delta scaling can be used for a good game mechanic, and this is how Delta scaling can be used as a bad game mechanic. That's my personal opinion on the matter, but I'm actually really, really excited to see how the 35 version of the Prison of Elders plays, because I think that the Delta scaling in there is going to be part of the challenge instead of a brick wall that you smash your face
through. I think it's important for them to curate that level 35 a little bit more than with the 34, where everything's a little bit more randomized, where you can
absolutely
you can get away. Well, you guys got stuck fighting, you know, enemies that did a lot of arc burn with mm-hmm. the arc burn modifier on, and that's tough. You know, that happened in the Nightfall this week against Omnigal, and that's tough. You know, yeah, it's tough. So if that kind of thing happens and everything's leveled above you at level 35, it may be near impossible.
And that's and as a point of clarification, though, the only leveling that's going to be random is 28. All the other ones are going to be fixed for the week.
Okay.
Yeah, everything is curated.
Right.
The stuff that cycles through is designed, and it will be that way every
right.
time.
Right, so you're gonna find a bunch of your favorite Twitch streamers and YouTubers putting out content for the week on their channels at the reset that says, these are the modifiers you're going to see in each one of the six rooms.
The Prison of the Week.
Prison of the Week.
Right.
Prison of the Week.
You better coin that really quick there. You know.
Right, so, Professor Broman.
Professor Broman, Prison of the Week.
There you go.
So yeah, so you'll be able to prepare ahead of time. You know, if you're not, like, you're gonna find that guys like Professor Broman and Patrick and Briar, you and me and the guys at Planet Destiny, we're all gonna trudge through this at the reset, and we're gonna try to find out what all the modifiers are so we can post it out for the community on how to prepare for, hey, guess what? This week the Cabal room has fire damage, you know? Let's talk about what kind of weapons we need
invective,
to
invective, you know. Invective.
So you're gonna want to go to your favorite person who knows strategies and loadouts, and you're gonna say, hey, for this week, how do I get past this Cabal room, right? So I think it's great that you can you know prep for those harder challenges. But if you want to just jump into like a rock strike, you're gonna get that modifier, that random modifier, and it'll give you a chance to maybe see a room before it becomes like a higher damage one. Maybe you'll get a chance to see the Cabal room with fire, even you know randomly that day, mm-hmm. so you can prepare for what it would be like when it's a level 32, 34, yeah.
35. The 28 Prison of Elders is actually, it's actually really cool. It's cool because it lets you experience everything and see how it might play under all the different circumstances, but it also has matchmaking, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. which can serve as a furthering of the matchmaking for Prison of Elders as a whole. You join a random group and you play together. Yo, I don't have any friends. Why don't we party up? Holy crap, let's party up and do the 32. And so then you don't have to worry about maybe so much about going to outside, any location outside of the game to get your group together. You might be able to find a group while you're doing the 28 Prison of Elders that you can take into the other events.
That's a great point.
I actually think it's a really cool solution.
That's really cool. You know, both consoles came with microphones this time around, and using those is going to make your experience better in Destiny.
There's a, in the 32, 34, and 35, where there isn't matchmaking, what I think is a great addition, and I don't know if it's a, I think it seemed like not very many people were talking about this, but you could go in solo if you wanted to. And then, and you can invite, it's just like doing the weekly or the, actually not the weekly, but the Nightfall now. So it, you can invite, if somebody can join you right before you kill the boss and get the rewards. So, mm-hmm. or if they have to leave, you know, and
like, cause they refuse you know, to use Fatebringer or something.
Dude, too soon.
Come on, Briar. That hurts. So then you can have somebody leave, and then you know a friend jump in, or you know you can you and your buddy are struggling at it, and you see one of your friends that's really good online, or you text him and you say, "Hey, jump in, help me finish off this. I really you know we're at the final boss and on the fourth room or whatever. Come jump in," and then they can jump in and help you. And it gives an opportunity of people that have already done it a bunch of times to come back and help people that maybe are struggling.
Absolutely, yeah. That's one of the things I'm looking forward to the most, streaming it. I mean, that's my favorite thing to do on stream is to help people complete content that they might not otherwise be able to do. Or teach. You know, we did raid clinics for a long time where we would... me and T-Rex and Goth would each get one viewer who had never done any endgame content at all. And we're like, we're going to do the raid and we're going to teach you how to do it. And it was really fun and hilarious because, you know, people who are new do the most ridiculous stuff even after you tell them, like, okay, don't go over here. And they're like, oh, you mean like right over here? And like smash, Crota crushes them in the head. You know, it's really fun stuff. So I'm looking forward to the Prison of Elders experience holistically streaming, because you're gonna be able to bring people in or swap people out if you need to, or if you want to, or if someone's like, I'm done, I'm frustrated, bye, and then you can get a new person. It's really cool.
I think that Sherpa kind of needs to make a comeback in Destiny. I feel like a lot of people were playing Crota's End for so long that the most experienced players kind of just got sick of it and stopped doing it, and now there's a lot of newer people who really need help in it. And they're having a lot of trouble, especially in hard mode. Yeah. You know, I've seen people trying to get into hard mode with blue weapons. I'm like, this really isn't where you should be right now.
that's probably not a good decision. Yeah,
I've done that on stream. I have people send messages. I do invites. I'm like, look, if you want to do this, send me a message right now on PlayStation. And it's like, whatever. So I'll invite people in to do hard mode. And when I had this guy show up, 29 for hard mode Crota.
Oh, God.
And... all blue gear and one legendary, and I was like, look, man, you can't.
Does no.
You just can't. Don't. And everyone in chat's like, just back backpack him. I'm like, it's hard mode. It's a little bit different.
We'll do one guy. To backpack someone through that. If we just get like a random
one,
guy.
Yeah, one guy.
And we have five like raider, like guys who've been with the group for a long time. We know that we can just pull this guy through. He'll be dead for the whole time. He's not going to be having any fun. But he's going to get some loot drops and he'll be better prepared for the next time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
The only
time
they become a liability is when the Oversoul. The Oversoul.
You see this crystal room? You don't leave this crystal room.
Die now, we'll see you later.
Yeah, we'll get this for you. Just stay here. Yeah, and that's not fair for them either.
So you guys have all played this content. I'm starting to get ready to start getting prepared, like make strategies for not only the Prison of Elders, but for Trials of Osiris. And I'm wondering, from each of you, what are the top three weapons that you guys are going to ascend first? Like, what are the first three? Now, obviously, everybody's going to do armor first because that's going to work for all your weapons. All your weapons are going to get upgraded when you upgrade your armor because you'll be doing more damage and taking less damage. But just those pieces of gear, just the weapons. What are the top three weapons you guys are going to upgrade first?
I'll take this one first. Like, I should also note that, like, exotics, I'm not going to count exotics in my list here because you'll be able to do them right off the bat anyway. You're not really going to have to take anything into account. We all have exotic shards from Xur and nuking numerous other exotics that we probably get. So that's kind of a non-factor. Yes, everyone's going to be doing Galahorn, Hawkmoon, Thorn, you know, all the tier 1 exotics, everyone's going to be doing those first. The legendary weapons that I'm going to be doing, it's going to be said by everyone, but Fatebringer is just so damn good. Like, that's going to be the first legendary weapon that I ascend for, you know, for all the reasons. The second one, unless I can find a better sniper rifle than my current LDR, then it'll be my LDR because that is my baby. That is what paints the Crucible red.
What are the
for
perks
me.
On that? And what kind of damage does it do?
It has the ambush scope, surplus field scout, so which is the key right now, because I spawn in with 12 rounds in PvP. So the early game, you know, secondary weapon ammo is not a factor for me anymore. I can just, you know, start wiping people out, and then it has final round on it, which I don't really use because I have field scout on it, so I'm usually reloading the magazine anyway. But yeah, that is my baby. That is my baby. And then, you know, I'm not sure if I have a third weapon that I can honestly pick yet. Right now, I'll probably just say one of my Radagast Furies, so I'll be fully prepared for Trials of Osiris. Because Trials of Osiris also will be, like Iron Banner, power will matter, your level will matter.
Does it really matter that much on a rocket launcher, though?
I like big explosions, and I like to think that...
You make a strong point here.
Explosions!
More attack, the more explosions.
Yeah. How about you, Broman?
How about you, Broman?
Oh, man. Okay. I actually will not be saying Fatebringer, believe it or not. I mean, the gun is fantastic.
I am interested now.
Having the chance to play specifically the Prison of Elders, you know, there's a lot of different enemy types in there. And if I was going to pick an arc primary, I would probably go with the Oversoul Edict instead, because I'd want to be able to shoot through shields. Because I like that.
Occurred to me. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but
no, it's fine.
The Fang of Irute, the scout rifle, having the ability to mark things, that's going to be pretty nice to have.
That could be important. To have. Yeah, there. No, a reference point. That's See, so there's a lot of things to consider. So, but that was from when I was playing on stream. I kept thinking over and over again, like, why don't I have my Oversoul? I'm super angry about this. Like, I feel like
I can't use my phone app either to transfer.
Especially when we were just getting stonewalled. I was like, oh, if I could take these knights out faster. So, Oversoul Edict would probably be my choice if I was going to go for an arc primary, which I probably will. Vision of Confluence, you know, because I just love that gun, and it's arc, so like, yay. And then I've been debating what void weapon. That's kind of how I've been doing this. I was like, I want to have something of each.
Primary of each.
If I upgraded. Maybe not a primary, just one. Because I don't really like any of the void primaries. Like, I really am just kind of like, meh.
Understandable.
About them. So I would probably go with, I have a calming, a future, or is it
future war cult? Yeah.
So yeah, future war cult, calming, void fusion rifle that I really, really like that has like solid, like really quick charge rate and like all this other stuff. So if I was going to go for a void, I would go for that one. So I would go Oversoul Edict, Vision of Confluence, and my calming.
Good picks.
I would hate to, I don't want to fall in line with everybody else, but I'm going to agree. Fatebringer right off the bat is going to be my, that or, and I agree with you, Patrick, Fang, or you, probably a very close second. But I do like the explosions that come from the Fatebringer and those give arc damage out. So that's really important to me. Sniper-wise, I'm going to go with Praetith's Revenge. I really want to see that a higher damage modifier and being able to bring it into the Trials of Osiris is going to be important to me. I know how I know how important sniping is in that playlist. So, Praetith's Revenge. And then I did kind of the same thing where I was looking at having Arc Solar Void in that order. So the second one would be a Yolnir's Hammer. I really like the slow fire rate, heavy impact machine guns. And this one comes from the Iron Banner. This one comes from Iron Banner, and you can re-roll it. I got a really good roll on it. It's got Field Scout on it. It's got the persistence where the longer you fire, the calmer it gets. And it's got crowd control on it. For me, it's a really exciting machine gun that I can take in both something like PvE, where, you know, Prison of Elders, and then also in Trials of Osiris. So I looked for guns that would fit both categories.
I would definitely go with Fatebringer, just because the jump it's going to get from 300 to 365, I feel like you're maximizing your use of like that token. Just instead of bringing something like Fang up, where you're going from 331 to 365, I feel like you're just getting a little more for your money by going taking a bigger jump from 300 to 365. I feel the same way about the Vision of Confluence. I want a Solar Burn.
Beautiful.
I love that gun. I've always loved that gun. So moving that thing up from 300 to 365, again, I think that's a bigger jump than going from like the Abyss Defiant, which, you know, obviously we know where auto rifles are now, but you know, you want a Solar Burn primary, definitely. And then I'm going to want a Void Burn, but the gun that I have the most fun with that's Void Burn is the Swordbreaker, so that's the one I got to bring.
You know, that makes a good...
Swordbreaker's pretty mean.
The Prison of Elders... a Swordbreaker is going to do some work.
I love these brainstorming sessions. It's fantastic. I've already by the end of, just by the end of this, I've already changed my three.
Like, yeah. Yeah. So did I. Oh, that's good though. That's really good.
Broman, since we are starting up streaming and everything, would you have any like tips that you'd want to give us for just general tips?
The best thing that you can do, the best piece of advice I have, if you're trying to grow your Twitch channel, I know you guys have a lot on your plate. You do a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
But my advice to every new Twitch streamer is pretty much be live as much as you can, because people can't find you if you're not live. It's not like YouTube. You can't make a video once a day and then get noticed. You have to be there. So be live as much as you can. Is my advice to new streamers, not necessarily yours. Always interact with everyone in your chat as much as you can. You know, what even if that means answering the same question 100 times, answering that question matters to that person.
I know earlier on in the podcast, like I kind of made a joke about, oh, the auto rifle, you know, questions. Like I don't mind answering it. I don't mind. I just think it's funny that it recurs so much.
So much. Yeah. You get to see the cool thing about Twitch is you do get to see that flow of consciousness and what people really are always thinking about.
Oh yeah.
Which is pretty cool. When is this happening? Which is why you get questions like that all the time. So talk to people, answer as many questions as you can, but obviously you have to protect your sanity. You also don't want to end up sounding like a tape recorder. The auto rifle buff might be happening next week.
Yeah.
The auto rifle buff might be happening, you know, whatever.
It sucks for people that have been listening for that 2 hours to also hear that too.
So you have to try and strike a balance there. So interact with people, be live as much as you can, which may be not advice for you. and don't take any crap. Is my usual third piece of advice. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks will say, "Hey, I want everyone to be here, and even if this guy's kind of a jerk, whatever, at least he's here." Every time that you make that compromise for your channel, you are giving away a little bit more of the potential positivity that you have. The future of your channel is not worth one channel view, and the future of your channel is not worth one viewer. If someone is in there and they are constantly toxic and being a jerk, I get rid of them.
And, you time them out, or there's just certain things.
Ban
that,
them, yep. Or I will.
I've already on stream.
I run my stream like a comedy club. So if people are just being ridiculous in chat, I'll just ban them or time them out. If they're spamming a question, I'll time them out. But if they're like directly being toxic or insulting me, it's like a comedy club. If you walk into a comedy club and go, "Hey, you fat, bald piece of crap. You're fat and bald," and you don't think that the comedian
you just
is
insulted
literally...
the guy with the microphone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
you don't
that's
think the
a,
comedian
that's...
is going to embarrass you so much that you leave the club crying. You're completely confused. So that's the way I run things. So yeah, if people directly insult me, I will call them out and give them the treatment. But it's just you need to find a way to deal with negativity to keep it out of your channel. And that's just my personal opinion. That's something that me and a lot of the other Destiny broadcasters try and focus on, not letting negativity stick around and thrive, whether that be, people being cruel to us, but more importantly, people being negative about stuff that folks are negative about on the internet all the time, you know, being slanderous or racist or homophobic or all this other stuff. Just has no place in a civil community. And so we try and push that out.
High values.
So I guess that's my advice. Don't take any crap. Be live as much as you can. And make sure you interact with people.
Because
that's what Twitch is about. That's why they're there. You want to interact with people because that's what matters.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think Gathalion posted something that you said from a while back. Like, you don't stream to like just to show off yourself. You stream for everyone else that's out there watching. You want to interact
exactly.
with those people.
Exactly. You're not the star.
Yeah.
People might treat you like that. I definitely have been on the receiving end of that a few times, and it is not something I do to elevate myself. It's something I do to entertain other people. I that is something that drives me, and I guess that's the other piece of advice I give to new people on Twitch is the likelihood that whatever you're doing on Twitch or any entertainment career that you're doing, that it's going to work out and it's going to become your job is really low.
Oh, yeah.
But if you love doing it, you'll do it no matter what. And that's the key component is that I love entertaining people. I love being silly and being loud and laughing and being ridiculous. That's the kind of person that I am. And it brings a lot of folks some joy. And if I can help brighten up somebody's day and make them laugh at me or at something I did or something that happened in my stream, then that's all right with me. That makes me feel good.
Hell yeah.
That's what I want.
And at the end of the day, if you're enjoying what you're doing, that's like 90% of the battle right there.
Oh, yeah. All right, guys. I think this is the end of the 17th Planet Destiny podcast. I really want to thank Professor Broman for coming out and joining us. Before we sign off, I don't think I ever actually mentioned our new Twitch channel. Well, I mentioned it, but I didn't mention how to find it. Go to twitch.tv/planet_destiny. And we're trying to be pretty active streaming, usually about 6 o'clock Pacific Standard Time till about midnight Pacific Standard Time is when we're really trying to fill in that time slot and get some stuff in. Usually I'm in the very earlier hours, like, I don't know, like 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Then I usually go until 6 and let Pope and Briar Rabbit and Wally and Tefty and all those guys fill in the later hours. But and find us on Twitch. You guys, I think you'll enjoy the stream that we've got going.
You can find me over on YouTube at the Briar Rabbit channel. Just search Briar Rabbit channel on YouTube or on Twitter at the Briar Rabbit.
And this is Pope Bear, and you can find me streaming on the Planet Destiny Twitch channel or on Twitter at Pope Bear, all one word. And this weekend we'll be doing a charity live stream for the 8-Bit Salute. I think Professor Broman's doing also the same thing, but on his channel. And so look out for everybody on Twitter to be raising money for the Operation Supply Drop.
I will also be doing a stream on Saturday for Operation Supply Drop on my channel, twitch.tv/Professor Broman. So you can catch me there. You can also follow me on Twitter, if you so wish, at Professor Broman. Or you can check me out on YouTube with a completely non-branded name, youtube.com/BenWCA, because Twitch would not let me link a different YouTube account that I created 2.5 years ago. So that's my high school YouTube account, guys.
That's awesome.
That is... Yep, and that is where I do all my Destiny stuff. Or you can search Ben Broman, which was the closest thing I could get them to letting me change it to Professor Broman. So that's where you can find me at, guys. Thank you for having me on today. I really had a great time.
No problem, man.
Talking with you guys.
It's definitely nice to hear the insights of a Twitch professional. As we're just starting out, you have much sage advice.
Oh, yeah. I've been doing it for a while.
Well, thank you. Thank you guys for tuning in. We will see you next week, or we will see you on the stream this week.